Thank you, gentlemen. It's good to see that we got some preacher boys going out to hit the streets, and that's good. That's amen, amen. This is Brother Davis is the youth pastor out there, Claysmill, has been there for some years now. And you pray for the church there. They recently, just last week, had a family that were down in, from their church in Texas, and somebody was texting and hit their car, pushed over the line into the lane of a semi. And several were killed. The mother's very serious, and of course it was just a tragic situation. So you pray for the church and how that is. Something like that, a family's very active in the church and so forth. Just really can make an impact on things. But you pray for them at Claysmill. And now Brother William Davis is going to preach for us, and appreciate them. You pray for them as they travel around this summer, and give us what the Lord's got on your heart, sir.
All right, if you got your Bibles, if you will, take them and turn them to Acts chapter number 1. And really quick, I'll say a real quick word about the table out front there. And we've got a lot of promotional items from the college, a lot of free stuff that you can take and think about the college. If you're a young person, pray about Bible college. Tour groups didn't come to Southeast Kentucky. I'm from where Kentucky and Tennessee and Virginia meet. And tour groups didn't come to that little mountain church, but this country preacher looked me in the eye at Wendy's, and he said, "Have you prayed about Bible college?" And that's the only words I needed to pray about Bible college and know that being called to preach, I needed to go, and so I went, and I'm all I would say is pray about Bible college. Stop by. But we do have some CDs back there, and this is the new CD. It's got three songs from our fellas. It's also got, we've got two ladies groups that are also traveling around the United States, and it's got 12 songs on it. It's $10. If you buy two CDs, they're $18, three for $25, three for $30, four for, I don't know, off the top of my head, but it's on the table. And but anyway, it's out there, and you can stop and pick that up. Great music, and I'm sure I know your pastor from the conference, the Sword Conference, and I know you all probably have some great music. So if you want to add that to your collection, that would be great. Acts chapter 1, we're going to look at verse number 13 through 15, and I'm going to just hopefully give you a little help to that tonight. I want to be a blessing to you. You've already been a blessing to us. You need to spend time with your preacher and him, but we want to be a blessing to you, and hopefully the fellows were a blessing to you in song. I want to be a blessing to you with the message tonight. Acts chapter 1, if you have it there, if you would stand with me for the reading of God's Word, and I don't know if that's a custom here, but we will. It's in Acts chapter 1, verse number 13, and here's what the Bible says, "And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zealots, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." Verse number 15, "And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said," the number of names together were about 120. Now, I'm not going to read Peter's sermon because Peter preaches Pentecost and 3,000 people are saved. But what I want to focus on tonight is I want to focus on two names in this passage. Here you have Andrew and here you have Peter. And Peter, in verse 15, the Bible says, it says, "And in those days Peter stood up." And if you look at Andrew's name in verse number 13, he is one of just those names. But I want to bring a message entitled this: Are there any Andrews available? Are there any Andrews available? You'll understand the message as we go along. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray you bless the message. Please give me clarity of thought and mind, and Holy Spirit, as I preach to ears, I pray you would preach to hearts.
Lord, I pray that you would move amongst us tonight. And Lord, just give us not just a time slot, but Lord, that you would speak to hearts of the church. May we be a blessing to them. Lord, what a blessing they are to us. And not just a lighthouse in name, but lighthouse in action. And Lord, what a blessing this church is. And God, I pray that you would help us to be a blessing to them in word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If you take your Bibles and you flip over to John chapter number 1, I want to show you the conversion of Andrew and Peter, or the salvation experience of Andrew and Peter. The Bible says in John chapter number 1 and verse number 40, it says this: one of the two which had heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. So at this time, Andrew is already a disciple of John. He is following John, and he is introduced to Jesus. John tells him, hey, Jesus is here, and Andrew follows John. Then the Bible says in verse number 41, he first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. He brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Now I just want you to picture this for a second. I'm Andrew. I brought Peter to Jesus. Peter gets saved, if you will. Jesus doesn't look at Peter, at Andrew and say, good job, man. Here's a soul-winning sticker. Here's a soul-winning star. Here's one of those, one of those lapel pins. Nothing. He looks at Peter and says, Cephas, a stone. Andrew over here probably thinking, excuse me. Woohoo! Hey, what am I, a chopped liver? Hey, did you forget somebody? I brought that dude. Nothing said to Andrew. In fact, if you study your Bible, you'll find Andrew is only mentioned 12 times in the Scripture. And of those 12 times, six of them, three are in a list. Three are his testimony of salvation. So really, just six specific to Andrew stories that he's mentioned. We all know about Peter. Peter's mentioned a lot. Simon Peter, the leader of the pack, the speaker of the house, the preacher, the fighter, the sword fighter. Cephas, the stone, the Mount of Transfiguration, the Garden of Gethsemane, Pentecost, resurrection. Go tell the disciples and Peter. But I contend that this man who had no mountains, who went to the garden but didn't go further, talking about Andrew, I contend there would be no Simon Peter had there not been an Andrew. There would be no verse 15 of Acts chapter 1 where Peter stood up at Pentecost had there not been a verse 13 that listed in that name, or in that list of names, Andrew, his brother. We know a lot of Simon Peters. You know, those big name preachers. I'll say a name tonight that you may not know. His name is Clyde Jones. He was a soul-winning preacher of a small church in Xenia, Ohio. He was the preacher that pastored the church where my preacher, Jeff Fugit, got saved. Where my preacher's dad got the burden to start the church in Hazard, which is what birthed my preacher's vision for Commonwealth Baptist College, which is to start churches and to train preachers for the next generation. I contend there would be no Jeff Fugit without a Clyde Jones. He talks often about his Sunday school teacher, Brother Johnson, who would tell World War II stories to get his boys' attention in Sunday school. Preacher does. And Preacher travels every Monday and Tuesday across the country and preaches. And a lot of people know Jeff Fugit, but I contend that if there wasn't a Steve Johnson who taught Sunday school, the boys' Sunday school class, at a little church in Hazard, there wouldn't be a Jeff Fugit. Dr. Lee Robertson used to tell the story about his Sunday school teacher, Mrs. Hawes, Daisy Hawes. And that she would teach him and about his salvation experience, and he would go over that and over that. And I contend that the great Cephas, the great rocks of our faith that were won to Christ by these Sunday school teachers and discipled by these youth pastors and taught in the Christian schools. And the Sunday schools, the third grade Sunday school teachers in this room tonight, that nobody knows. I don't think there would be a Lee Robertson without a Daisy Hawes. I grew up in, like I said, Southeast Kentucky. I was reached through the bus ministry. My father-in-law was actually the bus captain that picked me up. I tell everybody my wife was my prize for being good on the bus. Unless we're fighting. And then she was my punishment for being bad. My father-in-law's name is Bill Kelly. Now, not Billy Kelly, the old-time preacher, but Bill Kelly. And a lot of people know Billy Kelly, but very few people know Bill Kelly, the guy that works at a mine supply store in Harlan, Kentucky, and works full-time and then works a bus route on Saturday and has for 40 years. But I thank God he invested. I wonder if there's any Andrews about it. Now, you may be sitting here maybe, and you may have thought tonight, even when you came in, or you may have the thought sometimes, you know, I'm just not a Simon Peter. I'm not a leader. I'm not one of those that likes to be in front of people, or I'm not one of those that likes to do this or do that. But, you know, I wonder if there's any Andrews available. Let me tell you a little bit about Andrew. Number one, Andrew loved God and people. In this story in John chapter 1, he loved God so much and he loved people so much that he forsook what he thought was important to follow God, and he loved people so much that the first thing he did is he told them about Jesus Christ. He loved God and he loved people. That's Andrew. The Bible says, he uses these words, he followed. He loved God so much, he followed God. And then it says, he first went and got his brother. Then it says, he found his brother, and then he tells his brother, hey, we found the Messiah. He tells his brother, hey, we found Jesus. Jesus is here. And he shares what Jesus with his brother. He loved God, and he loved people. In John chapter 12, and if you got time to turn there, you can, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you the story. In John chapter 12 and verse 20, these Greeks come to the disciples, and this is what they say to Philip and Andrew. This is one of the instances where Andrew's mentioned. They say, we want to talk to Jesus. And here's the wording they use, famous statement, sir, they're getting proper, sir, we would see Jesus. What that means is we want to book a meeting with Jesus. And the Bible says, as you read on down, that what they did is Andrew and Philip went and talked to Jesus, and they told Jesus, they said, hey, these guys want to see you. Now, I'll tell you something. Andrew was Jewish. These guys were Greeks. They didn't get along. But Andrew knew if they wanted to see Jesus, they needed to see Jesus, because if they were sincere in their heart, they needed to see Jesus so that they could get saved. And he loved people enough that regardless of their skin color or their race or their social class or where they were from or what side of the tracks that they were on, he loved people regardless. He wanted them to meet the God he loved. And he loved people so much that he would give his life. He gave up his fishing business. Who do we always think about when we say they're going fishing? Like even the guys singing. Who do they mention? You know who else gave up their fishing business? Andrew. Because he loved people and he loved God. Number two, let me tell you this about Andrew. Andrew looked for potential. Turn over to John chapter 6. Familiar story. There's 5,000 people. Let me set the setting. There's 5,000 people. There's Jesus. And there's some disciples. Dinner time rolls around. Kind of like right now. Those of you that worked all day. And you didn't get home to eat. I know how Wednesday night is, especially in ministry. You know, you start getting hungry towards the end of the message, and man, you're like, oh, man, if that preacher mentions food one more time, you know. But they're hungry. The disciples come to Jesus and say, hey, they want food. Jesus says, what do we got? Philip says, do you know how expensive, this is Philip's answer. Do you know how expensive food is right now? We can't buy any food. We don't have any money. He starts talking to him about how expensive it is. And he tells him, you know, you can buy this for a penny worth and all that. And all of a sudden, one of them has the idea, look, let's send him away. Let's send him home. All of a sudden, here comes Andrew. Andrew says, hey! And Andrew even doubts himself in the scripture. Look at it. John chapter number 6. Look at verse number 20. Here's what it says. I'm sorry. John chapter 6, verse number 5. Here's what it says. When Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto him, Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And he said this to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 2 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them. Every one of them may take a little. He said, we couldn't buy enough bread. Bread is 2 pennyworth. He said, there's not enough. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, hey, there's a lad here. There's a lad here. And then he tells him what the lad has. He says, there's a lad here which have 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And then he doubts himself. He says, there's a lad here. He's got a couple fishes. He's got some bread. But what are these among so many? He says, what are these? What are they among so many? He almost even doubts himself. The Bible says that doubts himself, but he gives it to God, and God makes a big deal and a big meal out of that little bit that Andrew had. Number two, I'll say this. Andrew looked for potential in other people. He saw that little lad with that lunch, and they're looking for food over here, and Andrew says, it ain't much, but it's more than we got. Let's try it. And I hope he didn't do this, but that's how we do it with the Stooges in a youth conference. Give me that. And takes it over there, and they use it. You ever teach your Sunday school class, and it's a little rough or rowdy? And you back away and you say, what are these among so many? Or what are they among so many? You ever run your bus and maybe you have a rough day? You know, like you pick up the kids that don't normally come. Maybe it's a program day. You pick up the kids that don't normally come, but all of a sudden they all come on the same day. And you run that bus and you have maybe a rough day on the bus. And you say, what are they among so many? And you get a little discouraged. Maybe you get a little discouraged out soul winning, and maybe you have one save. You've been out soul winning for hours, or maybe you've been going for weeks now, and you've only had one saved. And you say, what is one among so many? We got thousands in our county. Andrew, Peter had 3,000 saved in one day. Andrew says, hey, it ain't much. I don't know if it'll do it, but here's what I got. And he saw potential in others where he said, hey, if you'll just give it to God, God can do great things with it. And I don't know whether you teach a class or you run a bus route or you serve in a ministry or you do some sort of service around the church, and you may look at it as minuscule or it's not important, but I'm here to tell you tonight, it may not be a Simon Peter ministry, but if it wasn't for Andrew, there wouldn't be any Simon Peter ministries. If it wasn't for somebody to clean this church, and there wasn't somebody to fuel those buses, and there wasn't for somebody to maintenance the buses, and there wasn't for somebody to care for the nursery, and there wasn't for somebody to do those things, then let me tell you something, there wouldn't be a church. We need those things. Andrew saw potential, what God could do with those things. And let me tell you something, if you'll surrender those things to God, God can do amazing things with them. Number three, last thing. If you would, take your Bibles and go over to Mark chapter number 1. Verse number 29. Here's what the Bible says. And Mark chapter number 1, verse number 29. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered in the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever fell, the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. Now, in this story, all the disciples are there, or a bunch of them. But Andrew is listed. And I want to say this about Andrew. Number three, Andrew loved to serve God and others. Number one, Andrew loved God and people. Number two, Andrew looked for potential. Number three, Andrew lived to serve God and others. He gets here. Peter's mother-in-law is sick, and the Bible says they took care of her. Now, they just got out of church. They get there, they take care of Peter's mother-in-law, then they go to and they're taken care of. Listen to this list. People that are diseased. People that are possessed with devils. And then the Bible says in verse 32, watch this, it says, and at even when the sun did set, so if now it's dark, they've worked till dark, they brought unto him, so who's they? The disciples, including Andrew. Unto him, that's Jesus, all that were diseased and all that were possessed with devils. So they're bringing these people to Jesus. Do you know every time you find Andrew in the Bible, if he's not being listed with the disciples or he's not being called, he's bringing somebody to Jesus. He lived to serve God and others. I think sometimes we think if we can't be Simon Peter, we're not pleasing to God. Or if we can't be Simon Peter, we're not doing anything for God. But if it wasn't for Andrew, there is no Simon Peter. He served physical needs with the 5,000, spiritual needs with healing and salvation. There's another instance of this in Luke chapter 6. We won't turn to it for sake of time. You may not be a Simon Peter, but I got a question for you. Are there any who would choose to love God and people, who would look for potential in a new generation, who would live to serve God and others? I'm talking about maybe in your life, in your class, in your school, in your youth department, teenagers included. Are there any Andrews available? I hear sermons a lot being a youth pastor, we take teenagers to places, and there's a call for youth or teenagers to give their lives to Christ, to surrender to different ministries. And I'm for that. I think we need preachers, and we need missionaries, and we need those things. But you know what I think we need more than that? Servants. I think if we had more Andrews, we would have more Simon Peters. And maybe tonight it's not about surrendering to be a Simon Peter, but it's surrendering to be an Andrew. Last thought tonight. There may be somebody here that you've had a lot of Andrews invest in you. Maybe you haven't said thank you. I'm looking at the teenagers tonight. I miss my teenagers. Let me tell you something. A Simon Peter comes strolling in the door and preaches a message. And we say, man, that guy, oh man, he's awesome. Or you go to a youth conference somewhere and that guy's, you know, awesome preacher. Don't forget your Andrews at home. Don't forget this Simon Peter right here. Don't forget those that have invested in you. Because that guy, this guy, this guy, we wouldn't be where we are without those who invested in us. Thank God for your Andrews. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes if you don't mind. Tonight, I don't know where you are spiritually. We all came in from different places, and we'll all go home to different places. But I wonder tonight if there's somebody here that maybe God's been dealing with you about your area of service and where you are in this church, and you'd say, Brother Davis, I needed that message tonight, and the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, and you know what, I just want to be an Andrew. I just want to be a servant. I just want to do what I need to do to serve God and to serve people. I just want to love God and love people. I just want to look for potential. I want to see potential. I don't want to see the negatives in things. I want to see potential. I don't want to see that we don't have any food. I want to see that we've got a lad with a lunch like Andrew. Brother Davis, that's me. God spoke to my heart tonight. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that? You'd slip your hand up and just let me see it. Anybody at all? God sees those hands. God sees those hands. I wonder if there'd be somebody here that'd say, Brother Davis, I'll be honest, I'm not 100% sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't know your church, and before I pray, I definitely want to ask that question. You say, if I were to leave, I'm not 100% sure that I would go to heaven. Please pray for me. Anybody like that, you'd slip your hand up. I don't know for sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. Then let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed, and if God spoke to your heart, would you come and do business with Him at the altar? Maybe you need to make a decision to be an Andrew and be a better servant. Maybe you're already serving and you just need to rededicate that service to the Lord. It's okay to do that every now and then. Keep our hearts right with God. Amen. As the pianist plays, if you would come.